The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me is Mick Clifford. Mick is the special correspondent with the Irish Examiner. And Alison O'Connor is with me as well, Sunday Times columnist. Gary Gannon as well, recently re-elected Social Democrat TD for Dublin Central. You're all very, very welcome. Mick, you had some news there on the phone, I see, in just the last couple of minutes.
Mick Barry has conceded in Cork North Central. He was ducked, as I last I saw, there was, he had requested a full recount. There'd been a kind of a partial recount with Bundles, and I think he'd requested it from that, but it's just a news flash there now that he's conceded. That is a big win for Labour. They hadn't had a TD there for some time, and Mick Barry, to be fair to him, has been fairly established in the constituency there, so that is a big win for Labour, definitely.
Alison, that brings them up to 12 TDs.
And I mean, it wouldn't have been it wouldn't be a complete surprise to them. I don't think it would have been on their top level of expectations, but he's only a 24-year-old. And this idea of, with Sean Sherlock been gone, of there being, even though it was a Cork North Central, it was changed as owing to the Boundary Commission, of having a TD, still having a TD in Mallow. And interestingly, he is also, when he was the candidate during the campaign, he had an epileptic fit while doing doing a piece on RTE. They were doing a piece from that constituency, and he during the middle of it, and he came out afterwards and just said, you know, politicians are normal, and that he was proud to be an epileptic. You know, obviously that was a very difficult thing in the middle of a campaign, and I think that will also make him at 24 and make him the youngest, and that also gives, I suppose, Labour the bragging rights over Sac Dems. The Sac Dems are at 11, and now that will be Labour at 12.
He was he worked with Sean Sherlock in Mallow. He was 7 when Sean Sherlock first got into the Dáil. And Sean Sherlock's a young man, even now, like, you know.
Yeah, well, no, that's all relative, Mick.
Well, listen, the Sherlock name continues in the Dáil after Marie Sherlock was elected in Dublin Central, which brings me to Gary Gannon. So, Gary, I mean, have you lost the soft left bragging rights? Is Alison right?
I don't. No, we weren't bragging about anything. We're very humble here in the Social Democrats. Humility is a strong point. Now, look, congratulations to Labour candidate just elected there. He seems like a very impressive guy. No, I think for us, we've had a great day. I mean, the Social Democrats were in existence now 8 years. We've doubled their seats every single election, both on council and on national elections. So, look, we're a party that's very clearly a growing force in Irish politics. You're going to see in the 11 TDs that we do have in the Dáil, you're going to see an exemplary level of understanding of the issues. Many of the people who are bringing into the Dáil, Pádraig Roish, Jennifer Cummins, they're coming with like a huge level of expertise. Sinead Gibney, who you've had on your show a number of times. So, look, I'm just very confident at the quality of Social Democrats that are going to be there. So this time 11, and the next time it will be significantly more than that.
And we kind of had a statement released in the last hour as well, Gary, from Sinn Féin, that they've kind of approached the Social Democrats and the Labour Party to talk about government formation. I mean, this is kind of in defiance of mathematics, really, isn't it?
I'm not sure, but we will. Look, the Social Democrats have been very clear that we're going to talk to all parties. However, the first people we need to talk to is ourselves tomorrow when our parliamentary party meets, and actually just get a sense of where we are, the direction we're travelling. But we're very clear. We're going to talk to all parties. We made our red lines clear long before the election campaign started about our 5 deal breakers. Look, they're well hashed now in terms of housing, health, disabilities, climate and childcare. But like
which of those is most incompatible with the outgoing government in your mind?
Well, it's how we pay for them, which I believe is incompatible with the outgoing government. You can't have public services and massive tax cuts. That's one of the things we've always been clear on. Like, it's the foundation of our party. Look, we want effective quality public services. We want to solve the housing catastrophe. You cannot do that while also offering $7 billion in tax cuts and having a giveaway budget every year. Like, I mean, that is supposed to be what separates ourselves from some of the Fianna Fáils, Fine Gaels. But look, we want to talk. We absolutely want our policies in government. So before people we have to talk to is our own parliamentary party tomorrow. Look, some of our candidates were still getting elected well into last night. So I think today we just wanted to take stock. Tomorrow we'll talk. And then we'll be reaching out to talk to every and all party.
And what's your sense of the mood within the party? And I appreciate the point you make. You've got to sit down and have this conversation amongst yourself. But your sense of the mood when it comes to going into government, because, you know, the narrative is that Labour keener, not everybody in the Labour Party, but certainly, you know, some within the party keen to get around the cabinet table and the Social Democrats not nearly as keen.
Yeah, I definitely hit back at that, Ciarán. I want to be in government. I don't spend the next 4.5 years looking over across the chamber of people who I believe I can do a better job of. You have to be in government, but it also has to be a government that means something, a government that actually recognises that the same old policies have led us to the catastrophes that we're seeing. So we do need a change of pace. And that change of pace and a change of direction requires also not auctioning and gambling with the taxation we need to pay for those public services. So, look, we've been very clear all the way through. We made our red lines clear from day dot of this general election campaign. We want to be in government. Here's our deal breakers. And afterwards, we take stock of to see the numbers we have, and then we'll engage.
Alison O'Connor is still with us. Alison, I talked about mathematics and kind of Sinn Féin reaching out to other parties being in defiance of it. Mathematics has overtaken the smaller parties as well, hasn't it? I mean, the independents are the kingmakers. Is that fair?
I mean, it's interesting. I hear Gary saying that he wants to be in government, but it is an interesting, I suppose, even if you like, negotiating tactic. In every utterance, including the statement from Leader Holly Cairns last night, they're talking about deal breakers. Do you know what I mean? Before you've ever started your conversations with anyone. That's not to say you roll over and you don't try and stick to your, but if that's your, it's just interesting language for me. And I think that, yes, there's a certain element of the conversation being academic, given what we're now looking at, how many Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to have together. I think it's going to be about 86.
Yeah. As someone said, if Roderick goes back into government, would have the
I think Roderick has said he won't. He won't be going back in. But they'd make up those numbers easily enough. And in a way, I think even this extra seat for Labour getting bigger even mitigates further against them being wanted by the, because it's the ideological baggage. Now, there is, for me, there's one flip side to that. I think that those two parties are aware that there are a lot of people out there who don't feel how they voted on Friday. Would, you know, imagining Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael going into government buildings together, a lot of people feeling that their feelings and their worries about housing, all of that sort of thing, aren't reflected at all. And that maybe if you did go in, for instance, with Labour or the Sac Dems, that you would bring that hue to the government.
You'd be saying to what people, we hear your complaints.
Yeah, and that I think Irish people kind of like the idea of a smaller party in government keeping the two bigger parties honest. But my sense of it at this stage, and it's very early days, is there's just too much baggage and literally too many TDs.
Yeah, the other thing about it is any small party that goes in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, those two parties are only about two short of a majority. Okay, they want three or four in order to get some way stable. The bargaining power, the hold they might have as a small party is completely weakened compared to, say, for instance, they were 10 short, then they'd be a vital component of a new government. They won't be a vital component of a new government because in the event that things get hot and heavy, all that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have to do is call up a few other independents if Labour, for example, or Sac Dems decided to walk. So for that reason, I don't believe they'll be going in. The second thing is in Labour's case in particular, let's face it, everybody believes they'd be the more likely if either of them were to go in. They have just this has been a forgiveness election for them, effectively. The electorate would appear to have finally forgiven them for the perception of betraying their promises when they went into the government in 2011. So they'd be taking a massive risk from their point of view.
They would, and I don't want to be ageist, but there would be some within the Labour Party who might think this might be our last chance to sit around.
Was the way it was before too, yeah.
Yeah, Vanna Batchik, might think, God, if I want to be Minister for Justice, this is my chance to be Minister. I'm not saying that's on the table for them, but, that might be the calculation, Alison.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure.
Gary Gannon, the Social Democrats, but there's a younger profile within the party, and they'll think we'll go again.
I heard of Vanna yesterday, and I also spoke to her at the RDS. And she is certainly presenting a front that she's very keen. What is the point of being in politics unless you're going to be in power? Because of this narrative that really took hold over the weekend, as a small party, why would you bother? You'll be eaten up and spat out, even if you do, as the Greens would say, get a lot of your agenda through while you're in government. But even you mentioning the possible justice minister or something, that's also at the heart of it. You end up having to give away. You have a third leg to it as a party. they are going to be looking for positions. And there's already going to be...
Two, if not three, wouldn't they?
And there'll already be absolute dogfights between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and this parity of esteem. And yet you cannot ignore the fact that you're looking at, you know, a sort of a 10-seat difference. But Fine Gael having that whip hand in a way of saying to Fianna Fáil, OK, if you don't do it, we're just going to go on to the... or threatening that, at least. We'll just take to the opposition benches.
And one other thing in that respect, I mean, this election... effectively, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, if we take them just as a block, they have come back with a greater representation than that which they went out with, irrespective of percentages of votes, whatever. They're only too short now of a majority. The turnout in this election was down, it was below 60%. For example, in 2011, when a lot of people were really angry, it was about 70%. So what you have is a scenario that those who did vote to a greater extent appear relatively happy with the status quo. That is not for a second taking from the points that Gary's making about people are disenfranchised, that are left behind, about housing, all of that. But as far as the government will look on it, they've effectively been told by the electorate, carry on as you are, and therefore are they going to make any big concessions to change what they perceive as the way to go forward?
Gary, how do you interpret that? Do you interpret these results as a majority of people saying carry on as you've been doing?
No, not necessarily. The majority of people didn't actually vote for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. The majority of people voted for parties of the left and independents. Look, we have a job of work to do to continue to build that movement. But I mean, the clear sense I got on the doors were people were frustrated by the government, frustrated by the giveaway budgets. And you have to remember, I actually came ahead of the finance minister, well, the most notable finance minister in the last government. So, I mean, there is a sense that people feel like they're being bought off, that things aren't improving, that the housing crisis is not inevitable, the lack of the state of dereliction in Dublin, for example. I didn't get a sense at all that people wanted the same old, well, like I'm in Dublin Central. But again, across the board, you're seeing the gains we're making, the gains Labour have made. Look, there has been a sense that the majority of people did want something different, but we do have a multi-party system and we can't deny the fact that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have had a good day too.
Well, we've a multi-party left as well, and that's been the other suggestion in recent days and all the discussions, Gary, is that, you know, if the left could not necessarily merge but kind of coalesce that bit more before an election, it might provide a better alternative. What do you make of that argument?
Yeah, but Kieran, again, I'm just going to focus on, I'm very short, so I'm very focused on Dublin Central. But if you have a look at the moment, I mean, the eyes of the world were on Dublin Central yesterday for obvious reasons with Gerry Hutch running. Look, I had a very good day, but then PPP's transfers sent me over the line, which cleared the gap. Then my surplus went back to Marie Sherlock, and then it was NASA Horrigan's surplus that votes elimination that sent her up. So this idea that there is no actual cohesion along the left, it doesn't really play out when you see the transfer structures. So, I mean, that does an example of the vote left, transfer left working really, really well. But like for me, I do want to build a big social democratic movement like we are in the Soc Dems. And I think we can avoid, if it's not this time, but I would like to be in government, we can provide a real outlet for what comes next. And that's like a positive interventionist politics.
A few raised eyebrows in studio. Alison?
Gary's right in that, but it's almost like a hidden cooperation, isn't it? Rather than, I mean, there's no sense, I think, among voters of we're political nerds, you know.
Alison, the ballot sheet was there.
Yeah, no, Gary, but I'm saying there was no sense of people of there being or even the prospect of unity. And of Ivana Bacik did try to do that throughout the campaign. And I suppose realistically, though, you guys just have never nailed that sense, rightly or wrongly, that you're really not that interested in going into government. And I know that you have already said that you are, but there is that sense. I do want to take a moment, though, to compliment Gary. I think that Gary handled the threat of Gerry Hutch and his constituency, and I think the media have a lot to answer for. I really do, for all of the publicity that he got in some quarters. And I heard Gary say at the start of the mentioning that a lot would rest, you know, with the media, and I think he handled it really well.
All right, Mick, I want to, because we talked earlier in the show about possible government formation as well. And in that discussion, we didn't mention Sinn Féin and we haven't mentioned them yet. And we should talk about them. I mean, Mary Lou, as you would expect, is kind of spinning this as a great victory. Wherein lies the truth?
No, it's a victory depending on what you compare it to. If you compare it to a month ago, they did very well. If you compare it to a year ago, no, it was pretty bad. I mean, it comes back again to the same thing. Let me put another way to you. Now it looks like Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael are going independence. The left, as an alternative, a social democratic alternative, has an opportunity to get its act together. As things stand, and notwithstanding what Gary says, and I appreciate what he says in fairness, and there, particularly in Dublin Central, but in general terms, there are three lefts. There is Sinn Féin, which Eoin Ó'Brien, I think accurately, himself described as populist left. And we've seen that in terms of how they've changed some of their policies. They've moved them away, for instance, from the likes of Gary's party. Then you have the centre left or the social democratic left. You have the social democrats. You have Labour and Greens, I would suggest, in there for what's left of them. And then you have the far left, which is the likes of People Before Profit. And whereas you might have some transferring, it certainly is incoherent as a bloc. Look at two things during the campaign, the leaders' debate. There was no sense among the others on the left saying, we're all getting in behind Mary Lou McDonald as an alternative Taoiseach. That wasn't there. And the only public expression of transferring was from Mary Lou McDonald on the last day. And she didn't even mention Labour in that. It was nearly like a grasp to ensure that Sinn Féin got transferred. So that isn't there. Now they have an opportunity to decide what is the left, what does it consist of. To be fair, I think the likes of Social Democrats and Labour don't have much thinking to do on that basis. They are quite recognisably, traditionally left. Mm. But the others, if they want to have a coherent bloc, they need to do something. But if they want to be a proper alternative to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael.
Alison?
Yeah, I've just got a text from a Sock Dem here to point out to me that, and I'll have to apologise, it is after not a lot of sleep over the weekend, but that actually after that election of Eoin Kenny and Cork North Central, their Labour is still at 11, so they are at level.
Oh, 11. Oh, level. Sorry. Gary,
my humble...
I didn't want to contradict on
my
air.
My humble apologies. I clearly more caffeine is needed.
Bragging rights have been shared. That
consensus. Gary, there's the parity of esteem for you guys as well.
Parity of esteem there when it comes to the bragging rights. On that note, listen, thank you all very, very much for joining me. Thank you to Alison O'Connor, who's the Sunday Times columnist. Thank you to Mick Clifford, special correspondent with The Examiner, and Gary Gannon, a Social Democrat TD, again for Dublin Central.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.